fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. Just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales. What's up, furry friends? Welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. What's up, Steve, Derek? How you guys doing?
Howdy. Doing great. I'm back home temporarily. It's 65, sunny, and just my yard is beautiful. That's a sign, by the way, that you're an old fucker when you say, my yard is beautiful.
Well, then I'm old because I was out there this morning watering my plants and trees saying, wow, I have a beautiful yard. Anyway.
Well, you just dumped
one word. Describe your trip to Italy.
Beautiful. The most beautiful scenery day after day I saw for 21 days. I just, you know, I've been to most of at least half the world. And so I've seen a lot of stuff. And it's like you see the Grand Canyon, and literally with after 15 minutes of the Grand Canyon, you're like, okay, now what? You know, it's beautiful, but in Italy, it was just a picture postcard of a view every day, and a different one every day for 21 days.
Nice. And tomorrow you're going to Punta Cana.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going.
There you go.
Dominican Republic. For 4 days on the beach. So we'll see how we do down there.
I was there for that Aquascape event. Were you at that one, Steve?
I don't know that I went to that one. I think it was 2017.
That's when it was. Yep. I remember that. I don't think you were there. Because if you were, we would have gotten in trouble somehow. So
I was about to say, we would have had a story, you know, tequila story at least.
Well, that's when everybody was drinking the... I don't know what it's called. It's like wood. Some people referring to it like a drink with wood chips in it. I can't think of what
ayahuasca. Is that what you're talking about?
No, there's that. That's one thing for sure. I didn't know he was going there to do ayahuasca. That's interesting. Tell us more about that.
Steve, are you just making up words right now? Is that what's happening? Or?
Oh, have you not heard of ayahuasca?
I've never had it.
It's where the people that come to us and they still can't figure out the business shit, we send them to Peru and they take some ayahuasca and they get religion and they all of a sudden know all about how to run a business.
I'd be totally fine after that.
Oh boy. What are we talking about today?
One word. And I got this from Steve Harvey. He summed it up beautiful. Every entrepreneur on this planet has one thing in common. And that's the fact that at some point we all took a leap of faith and jumped. It's like most people jump out and then pull the parachute second. They worry about the parachute second. Now, I'm not saying you have to be that crazy, but at some point you have to have the guts to start your own business. You have to have the guts to say, I do. You have to have the guts to say, I'm sorry. I mean, you have to jump into the abyss, into the unknown, because nobody knows what your life is going to be like if you change shit radically. All you know is that if you don't change, you're going to have the same goddamn life up until that point that you just did. So you two have jumped. I have jumped. Most of us have jumped multiple times. And everybody that joins our group, hell, that's a big jump. That's a scary ass big jump to just come into our group and role play and practice being a business person, for instance. So I just want to talk about that because I have several people in our group that did make the leap ultimately, but every successful, I know I'm rambling, but, and I'll shut up after this, but every successful entrepreneur says the same goddamn thing after you go, well, how do you like it? They go, I wish I would have started earlier. Sooner. Yep. We all say that same thing because we're scared. It's a scary ass thing just to take a leap of faith and jump. So I would like to ask both of you, do you remember the moment, and it doesn't even have to be your first business, that you jumped and said, you know what? I am now going to do this.
I remember specifically, but Tom, I'd like to hear yours first.
I was selling nails and tools and, you know, Haslo nailers and stuff to carpenters out on job sites outside of Chicago. I was driving around. It was like 2001, end of 2001. And I'm driving around, and that was like the height of the boom, man. You guys remember that? Like every building was off the charts. Like the economy was humming. It was several years before the crash and all that shit in 08. Everywhere I turned, there was a new house going up. There was a new project. There was somebody signing the yard. And I had a young family at the time. My ex and I were obviously still married, and we had our oldest Dakota. And I want to say he was like two. He was like 2 years old, year and a half, 2 years old. Yeah, because he was born in 2000, so he's a little over a year old. I had never in my life prior to this thought of starting a business, which is really weird to me because you guys know the whole short bus thing, right? I just thought I was too stupid to start a business. I honestly believe that. And I think it was the fact that I just saw so much opportunity. I grew up working for my uncle painting, and I really don't know what it was. I think there was a guy at church who was painting his house. He was having it remodeled, and I caught wind of it somehow. And I'm like, well, I know him and he could hire me to paint his house. And I did the stupidest thing you could do. I matched the other guy's price because I didn't know any better. And he hired me to paint the house. I don't even know. I don't think I made any money on it, but it got me in business. And then I did a job for the guy's neighbor staying in his deck. My boss at the nail and tool company, I was still working there because I started my painting business on the side. I was still selling shit on job sites. He hired me to do his deck. I refinished his deck for $1,600. I washed it a couple hours, came back a couple days later. I stained it in another 6 hours. So in like 8 hours, I had made like $1,600. I thought I was fucking rich. and I was in business, man. And I just schlepped through it from there. But for me, I just saw all the opportunity. And for the first time in my life with career and business and stuff like that, I wanted a piece of it. So that was it. It wasn't very sexy. How about you, Derek?
Mine was a very like distinctive moment. I mean, there's definitely, as far as starting business stuff, but when I kind of started business, it was like this really kind of easy, like I detailed a car, you know, and then I made a little bit of cash, and then I've cleaned some gutters or I cut a yard or something. So it was this very gradual thing. So it wasn't like this big epiphany or aha moment. As far as business goes. But in the middle of business, it's when Steve and you and Tom had started the Contractor Sales Academy, like the very beginnings of it, is when I reached out to Steve because I'd made a mistake. I'd sent someone out and did not talk to the customer about money. And in that moment, I'm literally reaching out to Steve and I'm really thinking he's just going to give me a big old bear cuddly hug, you know, just be this really embraced, nice moment. And I'm going to feel so supported and safe. And Steve said, Derek, quit being a fucking pussy. And it just like, it floored me. And in that moment, I just went, man, he's exactly right. So I sent one of my guys out to clean a basalt column. It was like $500, not much money. And I was like, dude, I need the words to say, like, I need to call this customer. He said, you just got to pick up the phone and you just got to do it. You just got to tell her that you made a mistake. Quit being a pussy. And I remember getting off the phone in that moment going, I have to do this. And I can even feel it today. Like it was that moment in your life when you knew you had to do something. Like you wanted, like, I want to get out of this. How can I get out of this? I do not want to do it. That moment of literally jumping. And I remember, fuck, I have to call this lady and literally tell her I've made a mistake and ask her for money and just admit to my wrongdoing. And it overwhelmed me. But the beautiful thing he did, he said, just call her and tell her, call her and say, hey, I made a mistake. Call her and say, hey, I need to tell you something. And I hope you're okay with this. So he was giving me words. But that moment right then, that was a pinnacle moment in my business and really in my life to go, quit being a pussy, dude. Just say what you need to say. But it probably makes sense to get your words together, you know, be kind, have these things to say and do. So that was really, that was the moment that just, and I even feel it now. Like I got butterflies in my stomach even thinking about that. I remember sitting in my car, rolling my windows down, rocking back and forth. Like, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. And just dial the number. Like, it's ringing. Holy shit, it's ringing. And it's like, Dolores, this is Derek. I've made a mistake. And I think you're going to be very upset with me. It's very robotic. But Derek, what's wrong? And I told her, I just went through the thing. I sent somebody out there and I didn't even talk to you about money, and it's going to be $500. And she was like, wow, that's definitely more than I thought it was going to be, but I'll pay for it. Just in the future, anytime you send someone out, let's talk about money first. And I was like, yes, ma'am, absolutely. And it worked out, and they're not a customer of ours anymore because they've actually moved. But that was the moment of, oh, I can talk about people, which ties into seeing Steve on stage right before you chased him out the door as he was Businessman of the Year, him talking about having an upfront conversation. So yeah, those really tie in together. So that was the moment of like, I will never not have an upfront conversation again, so that I don't have to feel that anxiety of shit. So that was the moment.
How many people have you apologized since then?
I haven't had to. Like, I have not had to go back through that, because I'm so clear, and you guys have seen what I've posted in Battleground, maybe you've seen it or not, but just my what to expect, which drove me to create what to expect when we come to your home. Like, I've created this whole sheet with videos and links and everything. And if I feel at any reason that it's unclear or nebulous to what we're talking about before I go see them or before we go to a service, I send them that information, and I want to make sure that they read it, because I never want to experience that again. Maybe a handful of times just as the learning curve was happening, but very, very few times. I probably need to apologize sometimes for being so curt or frank or speaking up with candor in certain situations, but yeah, not because I was just scared.
So, you know, you have your own reasons why you didn't want to jump at first, like to say, I'm sorry, admit you're wrong. Maybe that's it. And then Tom, you had your own reasons. You had the short bus syndrome complex, but yet at some point you both said fuck it and you did it. And there's literally thousands of people that listen to us every single week in or out of the group, but that want to join the group. They want to jump, they want to go, god damn, I keep hearing these guys talk about a better life, a better way, a different way. What do you possibly say to anybody to convince them to jump? I mean, what made you jump? And not the words from Steve, what really made you guys take the chance on yourself and jump?
So for me, it's, I don't like being embarrassed. I don't like being judged. I don't like disappointment. That's a big thing. I do not like disappointing people and feeling that disappointment. I could even remember one time I was in trouble. I remember asking my mom, how much longer are you going to be disappointed? Because she told me she was disappointed in me for something I was doing. I was a teenager. And I was like, literally, it bothered me so much. I remember going, how long is it going to be before you're not disappointed in me anymore? And she was like, I'm not sure. And I just remember that. Like, so that for me is, I don't want to disappoint people. I don't want to feel that. And what I found is every single time, as you say, we wish we would have done it sooner, but every time I run into a situation now, I know if I go ahead and do it, it's going to be better. It's always better. It's always easier than I think it's going to be. I make things way harder than it should be. And as silly as this is, I just rolling this around in my hand, analysis paralysis. I needed to go to the chiropractor. My neck's kind of tweaked. And it's just like, I just didn't want to go. I don't want to go in there. It's just like, damn it. But I know I feel better if I just do it. And I remember literally getting in my Jeep and I was deciding, was I going to go to work? Was I going to go to the chiropractor? Was I going to make a phone call? Like I was swirling these things around and I just went, just stop thinking about it. Just go to the chiropractor, because you know, as soon as he cracks your back and cracks your neck, you're going to feel better. And it literally 10 minutes down the road, 10 minutes in there. So now within 20 to 30 minutes of me just swirling these stupid ideas in my head, I felt better. So I think that's really it. It's the Mel Robinson where it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get out of your head. You know, you need to do that thing. Just count it down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and just do the thing. And you'll reach a point where you can kind of separate yourself. And it's kind of like an out of body experience. So you're not having to feel all those emotions and you can kind of just almost go numb in a way and just go, if I just do this, I know it's going to be better and I'm going to feel way better than I'm feeling now. Cause think about that. How many hours have we felt the angst or the anxiety for the minutes that it took you to handle the thing? You literally torture yourself, death by a thousand cuts, than just doing the damn thing.
Tom, you put a quote out, I think by Mark Twain, that said something to the effect of, I've had a million bad things happen to my in my lifetime, and 90% of them never actually happened. They were all made up in his head.
Fighters, I want to invite you to check out our Contractor Sales Pro Facebook group. It's a free group, and it's a place to ask questions and share strategies and best practices so that you can level up your sales game and be a badass sales professional in the construction industry. So go ahead and head to thecontractorfight.com/salespro, and you will have a link that takes you directly to that Facebook group. Go ahead and fill out a couple membership questions, come into the group, and level up your sales game.
Yeah, I've spent most of my life worrying about things that have never happened, is basically the quote. And it's funny you brought that up, because I swear, if I could share the screen right now, I literally just typed it into Google and pulled it up right before you said that, because that's where I was going. And I think when I think of jumping, this could be jumping into getting your health better, a conversation you need to have in your relationship, decision you need to make to start a business or leave a job or whatever it is. I think so many of us, I know there's different personalities and things like that, but so many of us are, we got to see the whole staircase before we take the first step. And that rarely works out. You know, like I had no idea, like if you would have told me where my career and life would be now when I first decided to print off a business card and be a painter, like I wouldn't have believed you. And I don't know if I would have done it. It probably would have freaked me out if you told me everything I was in for. So it's
the unknown is a good thing.
Yeah. And so I just think there's, and Derek, to your point, 5-4-3-2-1 with Mel Robbins, it's like, I remember this one guy way back in the day. I was at some event, he was some sales trainer guy, and he was talking about people have phone reluctance, right? The longer you stare at the phone, the bigger it gets and the scarier it gets, when what you need to do is just pick up the damn phone and do the follow-up call. You know, call the pissed off customer, whatever it is, because the longer you wait, the bigger the thing gets and the scarier it gets, like the monster in the closet. And so I think there's that side where you just got to pull the trigger. But for those that know that, whether it's joining a program like ours, whether it's coming to Mile High Profit Summit in September, whether it's starting fucking something like 75 hard, you know, and getting your ass, you know, and your mental toughness where it needs to be, or whatever it might be. You don't, and I think I'm pretty fucking good at this. Like if I pat myself on the back, I program myself for the most part to win this moment. I only worry about this moment. I don't really, I'm pretty good. Like when I get a curveball on something, I'm pretty calm under pressure, because the only decision I have to make is what do I got to win right this second? And that's what I encourage people, like jump and then be okay with just winning this next decision, this next choice. And then you'll have a little more wisdom to win the next one and so forth, you know? And I think that's why when we look at people who are so confident and stuff, and that's the other thing I was going to say, is I think people don't jump, not because they're afraid of the unknown and all these other things. I think they don't jump, you guys, because they don't trust themselves to do what needs to be done.
Sure.
And the way you build your trust and your confidence in yourself is by winning the little moments. Get up, make your fucking bed. I don't know. It's just like, if you say you're going to work out at 9 o'clock, go fucking work out at 9 o'clock. That's winning those things. And that builds confidence.
And you said program, you programmed yourself. So that alludes to the fact that once upon a time, winning the moment was not there for you. And you spent time, you put effort into it. And that's the message when we're talking about this stuff, and whether it's Mile High Profit Summit, you have to go there and you have to take things home from that. And you have to implement those. If you join Battleground, you have to implement those things. You have to take the time and you just do it. And you don't have to do it. I'm assuming the programming took a period of time, right?
Yeah. And I think it's not something I intentionally did. Like I'm going to program myself to win the moments. I think it evolved over time. I think the thing I intentionally did though was I started seeing that I needed to hang out with different people, the way people think differently. That's to me what opened my eyes to. I mean, you guys remember years ago when the book, The Compound Effect, came out, right? And we all read it or listened to it or whatever. And I remember exactly where I was when I listened to the fucking book. I was on a hike in Colorado here. I just moved here and I listened to the book for the first time on this hike. I was gone all day and listened to the book. And that was just, that's hanging around a different type of thinker, or going to an event, or getting you go to the gym. Just go to the fucking gym. You're around people that are more likely to think differently about their health. You know, so I just think it's happened over time. And then my eyes opened at one point to when I went, oh, I just got to make the choice right now that's the best choice. I don't have to worry about tomorrow's choices. And I'm not saying don't plan your life and plan for retirement like Steve will always say or whatever it is. But I just think there's, you know, last year at Mile High, one of the things I said was, if you're overwhelmed by everything you heard here this week, the only choice you need to make is that I'm going to fucking plant my flag and win. That's the choice you need to make right now. That's it. And then the next stair will show itself. So I don't know. I wish I had a sexy process, but for me, it's just
not.
Yeah. And you know, Derek, I think another thing, and I've texted this out to us before, right? We talked about this, like, I'll often ask myself, I think it's good to have a vision of where you want to be. We should all have that. So I think winning that moment for me is, what will that future self, that future vision, that future Tom, what does that require of me right now, this second? That's the question I ask myself. Not how do I win the moment, but hey, where I want to go in my life, what I want the company to look like, my relationship to look like, what's required of me in this moment to get me there. That's the process. There it is. I just gave a step one and the only step. That's what I have.
That's huge. Well, like, case in point, if you need to apologize to somebody, just apologize to them. Don't wait. Don't process it. Just get it done. Case in point, because I needed to apologize to Aaron earlier because I said some things I shouldn't have said. And I literally went in the bathroom actually right before this podcast and I was processing it. And I went, that's just silly. Like, just apologize. Because if I apologize to her and I do it the right way, she's going to be fine with it. Shouldn't have said that. And I did.
So did you do the old, hey, I'm really sorry you were a knucklehead earlier? And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry you feel that way, but.
Derek, you know she's standing right behind you.
Oh, man. Help me. Help me.
You know, it's funny. You guys, the motivation for your jump is rooted in your childhood. Derek, with you and your mom being disappointed, and Tom, with you being on the little bus, you know, because that's where your parents put you.
100%.
And I know I went on to do what I did several times in the entrepreneurial world to be the quote-unquote golden child in my family, so my family would have at least one person to be proud of. Now, there's many to be proud of, but this is how I built it up in my head, that somebody had to make it out. You know, and I was going to be the one. So I was also battling childhood, you know, head trash demons to prove to myself, and I guess everybody else over and over, that, you know, where I came from is not where I'm going to end up. So most of us that are scared to jump is because we've had all this crap built up in our heads over our entire lifetime, and we're taught to do the safe thing. Don't rock the boat. Don't do this. Don't do that. And I'm just sitting here telling you, I can't look around at where I'm sitting right now in my house if I didn't have the courage to fucking jump. Because otherwise, I probably would be a dead drunk in the gutter somewhere. I think that's what my choice is: either become a millionaire helping others become a millionaire, or a drunk in the gutter. You know, those kind of were my all or nothing. You know, a lot of us have, I'm going to be on a diet all the way, and if I fuck up, then it's all over. You know, and like, we just throw caution to the wind and like give up.
What was your jump moment, Steve? Did I miss it? And I just totally spaced out.
Well, I remember the first time my partner and I was working for another pool company right out of college. This was 1984, the spring. And he ran all sales and I ran all operations in this other company. And we met for lunch to talk about stuff. And I was like, I remember I just said, you know what? Because it was the hardest goddamn job I ever did. It was 24/7. And I was like, you know, we could probably just do this ourselves. And I didn't know how he was going to react. I didn't know if I'm talking to the Nazis and he was going to turn me in. I mean, this is how scared I was. And I was fucking shaking. And he goes, you know, I was thinking that exact thing. We could fucking do this, you and me. And we felt dirty. It felt terrible. Like we were doing something terrible behind our company's back. That's how loyal we were.
Mm-hmm.
And we went from that spring, which was March, April-ish, all the way till October. We did the hard season, pool season. So we quit when we shouldn't have quit, which is right when there's no work in October. So we did everything the right way, but in our heads, it just felt dirty. You know, like we had to sneak around and plan the business and incorporate and do all this other shit, get insurance. It was exciting, but it really felt like I needed to go to church. Yeah. And then, of course, when we left them, those guys, we were the pariah. They were like, oh, I can't believe you're fucking us. And I'm like, well, you know, that's not how we see it. So we're going to just go do our own thing. And of course, they sued us. I mean, there I had no money. I had $3,000 to my name in there, and I have $10,000 worth of lawyer bills right off the bat. And they sued us for every fucking thing. So we had to fight that battle. And, you know, we're young. We didn't know that what's what. So, but the rest was history. We left them in the dust, we'll say. They were out of business in 3 years, and we were the world's largest company in five, you know, in that space.
I didn't know that about you got sued.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, that was
the first thing in business I had to do. I had to overcome the lawsuit before I actually did a lick of work. I had to overcome a fucking big lawsuit.
That just prepared you for all the other times you got sued because of your teenage lifeguards. So, and let me just state for the record of people out, not because of anything Steve did, but they were like having sex in the swim shack or whatever you call it. And all this other shit, crazy stuff. Well, just think
if your staff was 3,000 teenagers, how much trouble you're going to get in. I don't care what your business is. They're sure. Teenagers. We had everything from they're not coming back from beach week. They just decide not to come back to. We had two drive-by shootings, you know, where they mowed down patrons in the pools, you Jesus. Know, with guns and cars and, you know, and everything in between. I mean, and I'm a young 20-something learning all this shit. Getting sued. I went down for $1 million my second year in business. I lost $1 million in a lawsuit. Because some lady had a coma, it went comatose in a pool. She had an epileptic seizure in 3 feet of water, and I had to pay for it. And so I grew up pretty goddamn fast.
Damn. Wow. Well, that would have sidetracked a lot of people. Why did you keep going?
You know, we used to put $100,000 away every year as go away money. And because people would, you know, you blow the whistle 10 times, don't run on the deck. And then the 11th time, they fall down and they break their teeth and they expect you to buy them a brand new set of teeth. Although you told them to not run 10 times. And we wanted to have the best company. We never wanted to be the biggest. We wanted to be the best and we wanted to be the richest. We wanted to make the most money. He and I, we were very money motivated. So we devised a plan that we could equal our old boss's pay, which was $70,000 a year. Now, within 6 years, we were making 10 times that. Back then, but that was our goal. I remember we wanted to make $70,000 and drive an Oldsmobile Cutlass because that was their car and it was a badass car. And now they don't be
Pro-Am.
Oldsmobile Cutlass. That was a badass car in the '80s.
Wasn't that a Brougham edition? Didn't they have a Brougham edition or Brougham? We called it Brougham, but I just remember seeing that on one of them. Had the vinyl top or the whatever the on the Cutlass.
So then Steve got to a point a few years in the business where he was making what his old boss made. You were making that monthly. So
yeah,
pretty badass. I mean, that's the benefit of jumping, right? Here's something else I want to encourage people with before we get out of here is like, take the jump. Cause listen, you can always get another fucking job, man. Yeah. There's always another option. You know, when we're talking about starting your own business or whatever it is, like you can always, you're never going to jump into a dead end, you know, like there's always a way out or a way through. And I just think you guys know I've been some of my morning mojos and stuff over the past couple of months. Every now and then I have these real introspective times where I'm like, man, I'm going to fucking die. Like, you know, and you know, what the hell am I really going to care about? You know? And I'm wired, my freedom is the number one thing on the planet to me. Number one thing in the universe. Don't fuck with my freedom. So the thought of working for somebody else, I'm going to jump and I'm going to make it work. Like that's just, And I know there's other people that they like freedom in the sense where they know they can show up somewhere, they do their job, they get paid to go home, and they're free at night to not think about the business, right? So that's a different thing. But you can always start something new. And I would rather have, you know, I mean, we talk about all the time, you choose your hard, right? You know, it's the hard of doing something, or it's the hard to sit still. You know, pick your hard.
You know, you said you could always get another fucking job. Think about, if you're listening to us right now, think about your life. Where are you in life? You're not happy in life. I mean, you're listening to us, and we're only here to help fix you, okay? So think about the actual life you have, that the shit show you're probably running, or at least it's running you. Wouldn't you want to change that? And suppose you give something else a shot and it doesn't work out. Don't you think you could go find another shit show to work with? Pretty easy. I mean, you could recreate whatever you've created right now. In fact, we know people, literally, our advice to them is whatever you're thinking, whatever you think you should do, do the opposite. And we literally, we tell them, say, if you went back in your life and you did the opposite of everything you ever did up until now, how would your life be? And most of them go, it'd be a lot better.
Yeah. I'd own the world.
Yeah. So it's just get the fuck out of your way. Like what Tom says, hang out with people above your pay grade, follow people that are already where you're going or want to go, and make something of yourself. Just go do it. But you just got to go do it. Because if you hang up and say, oh, that was a shitty podcast, and go do nothing, then guess what? We'll see you next week.
Yep.
You want to stay in misery, keep tuning into us each week.
Yeah.
Well, I think the last thing here on this thought, because the more we talk about it, the more shit comes in my brain, of course. But like, you're never going to grow to a point in your life where you're not going to have opportunities to jump. You know, like it's, I mean, Steve, I mean, you jumped into the whole dance thing that you're into now. Years ago, and you jumped, and it was hard, and you made yourself uncomfortable. And I think, you know, we're at different, you know, last year was our first year doing Mile High Profit Summit. And I'm like, we're going to do it again this year. It's going to be bigger and better. And last year it was a jump. I was terrified. I didn't know it was up. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned about myself is the last couple of years, I think I've grown more than I have in my whole life, like in a condensed period of time. And I think one of the reasons is I realized I was telling the same war stories. If I was on a coaching call, I was sharing about a time where I blah, 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 blah. And this is just me personally. I'm like, when am I going to have some new stories to share where I had to overcome fear? I had to get uncomfortable. I had to own my shit. I had to walk into the punch. And that's when I realized, like, I'm not jumping enough. I'm not going big enough. Yeah. I'm really successful and things are going well. We were kicking ass with what we're all doing here. But I just personally felt like I wasn't putting my nuts on the chopping block enough. You know, now on the other end of this, you know, I've developed this habit where I'm just gonna fucking jump and try shit. You know, and what's the worst can happen? Like I swear this is inappropriate. I'm sorry for those listening. I don't mean it to be, but it's the only way I can be honest and tell you the truth. There are times when I go, I need to pick up the phone and call that person, or I need to do this, or we're going to do this event, or blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to get really uncomfortable. And when I start having that shit conversation in my head, oh, you can't do this, I'll go, what's the worst that can happen? It's not like you're going to be put in a concentration camp. Like, I swear. And so I'm like, okay, so anything short of that, I suppose, is pretty good, right? Sure. And so what's the worst that could happen, right? Nobody's going to execute my fucking family if the event doesn't work out, you know, or whatever. So, and I have the benefit of being in the Marine Corps and stuff and seeing some things of the world where it's like, you know, a mortar, you know, some rocket's not landing in my fucking backyard at random hours of the night, all this other garbage, you know, that so many people on the planet have. So what the fuck are we all afraid of, right? Like, unless you're truly in a place like that, which I get, but oh my God, you have to call a customer back. Oh my God, you have to have a tough conversation with an employee. I mean, like Steve said, or Derek said at the beginning, quit being a pussy, right? Like that's, all right, I'm good. I'm going to calm down now. So I'm just going to chill out here.
It's all, you know what? We can wrap it up here. This whole thing, life is a mental game. Business is a mental game. All of it's a mental game. And you have to learn to control your mind. Literally, control the way you think about shit. And if you can stay rational, you'll win the game. But as Warren Buffett says, when emotions are high, intelligence is low. So ask yourself, right now, ask yourself, where are you? And the bigger question is, what the fuck are you going to do about it?
I thought you were going to say the bigger question is, where is Derek? Because he literally just disappeared from our screen.
Yeah, but we know he can hear us. Oh. So we'll just leave it right there.
I don't know where you went.
But anyways, if you're still with us, come join our group, man. Just make the jump. Try something different. You know, what the fuck? After a month, you don't like it? Quit. Go back to your old life.
You all right, Derek?
Yeah. So they're putting Google Fiber through our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I literally just texted you guys. I was like, okay, that just disconnected. That's great.
Yeah. Steve was wrapping up, and he's like, and the biggest question is, we're like, where the fuck did Derek go? All right. Any parting thoughts, Derek?
You know, just 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You just got to do this stuff. You're going to spend more time worrying about the damn thing that you need to do than the effort that it took to do it. And it's always going to be better on the other side. And yes, push yourself, go out there. And I've been thinking about this recently. I have not had another jump moment.
You're frozen up, man.
You're frozen up. So we're going to sign off. So Derek was just basically saying he was going to do something really amazing and cool. That's where I think he was going. So, all right, give us a review, share this with another contractor, go to thecontractorfight.com, click the thing that says Mile High Profit Summit, get your little ass, or your big ass for that matter, to Denver and hang out with us in September. And like Steve said, jump.
All right, have a good day, man.
We're out. You too.